Welcome back to another episode of the 5-Minute Major podcast of STL, brought to you by Across the Board Games. We're back for an episode number 43. We jumped right back into our Atlantic Division preseason review and predictions this week. And then we want to say another thank you to Reed Lowe for coming on our episode. It was a great episode and we can't thank you enough. But how you doing, Mikey? How you feeling?
Doing really good. We just had the craziest thundercrack, and I think our lights flickered, so I'm glad I'm still here.
Well, you know, glad you're still there too.
That was freaky. I did not know it was going to storm in St. Louis. Everything's good. I'm excited to start this podcast. I'm excited to talk about our updates with the whole shebang. And
we got a lot.
Yeah. I don't have anything else to say. Let's talk about hockey, bro.
Yeah.
I cannot wait for the season to start.
So ready.
We're only in the Eastern Conference with our predictions, and I cannot wait to talk about the Blues. So,
oh, yeah. No, let's get these going.
Yeah. Okay. So NHL updates, a little around the league as we always do. Blues legend Kyle Clifford is retiring. Seriously, one of the better grinders in the league for the past, 10, 15 years. So good for him for a great career.
Yeah, that's the thing. He actually had some good numbers and won some cups. That's the crazy part.
Yeah, I think he won one or two in LA?
Yeah.
Yeah, good for him.
At 34 years old, he's getting out. Still probably not in terrible shape.
Yeah.
Played 753 games, totaling 66 goals, 78 assists, 144 points.
Yep.
One major brawl, I'm pretty sure, with Jordan Bennington.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and two Stanley Cups.
Unreal. Yeah, the cup they won in 13-14, that's the Kings. He played all 24 games. He had 7 points, and he was 39 penalty minutes. That a boy.
Yeah, I guess good my bad. Him. One cup.
No, two.
Was it two?
Yeah. He played 3 games in the first one they won. So it counts.
Dang.
He's on the cup twice.
On the cup.
So good for him. And then also, this is great for St. Louis.
Hockey in St. Louis,
And hockey. The EA Sports NHL 26 cover athletes is the entire Tkachuk family. So let's go, baby. Come on. Brady, Matthew, and Big Walt Keith are on the cover. They did a little AI Keith Tkachuk.
Yes.
Nowadays, he's looking.
Big Walt is big.
Big Walt. Big but Walt's really him. Loving his life, I'm sure.
We love Big.
That's the coolest thing, man. It's the first Blues cover athlete since Vladdy in 17. And then I think before that, it was Pronger on Hits 03. So it's been a while. Good for them, man. I love the fan. Like, the Tkachuks are, it's like hockey royalty. It's like the Howes. It's like the Gretzky's. It's like, you know, those guys. So good for them. They are truly possibly going down as one of the best hockey families to ever play.
Seriously. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And also, I think the first time a player is holding the Stanley Cup, so the regular edition of the game is Matthew holding the Stanley Cup since Jonathan Toews, I think.
Yeah.
So we'll see if the curse comes true. I think Patrick Kane is one of the only guys to be on it and still win a cup after being on it.
Right. So that was 20. He was on 2010, and they won 2010? In 2010-11, I think.
Yeah.
So, wow. So,
interesting little snidbit, conspiracy theory, superstitious. I love it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess I'm going to have to buy an NHL game, even though the game's probably not very good.
Yeah, unless that game has been stagnant, but yet I still buy it because I love the franchise.
We're hockey fans.
Yeah, we're hockey fans.
You can take this away. This is good for us. This is big news for the pod and other things.
So we have some news updates. As most of you have seen, if you follow our social media accounts, we are planning to grow and branch out. So we are making it a goal to grow our hockey coverage this year. And part of that, we are starting our hockey hub, which will stay up all. Basically, it's the goal is to stay up to date on all things hockey news. It'll be our hub for our podcast as well. And we will be entering the writing world. So, this is going to be a great opportunity. Mikey's going to be writing some articles, give him some great opportunity. I will be working on some small articles, and then we will be adding another team member to the St. Louis hockey news, essentially, Jake Langenfeld. So one of our buddies is going to be joining us. He'll be writing some articles for us as well. So exciting news, more to come. This is still the early stages. Our website is up and running, but we are still working on some design and schematics of it.
Yeah.
But Mike is doing a hell of a job over there with our design of our webpage.
Yeah, it's basically bare bones right now. So you might see some silly looking like graphics like, oh, this still just says description on it and doesn't have an actual description. I'm like building it out. And obviously when you have a full-time job and other things going on in life, you kind of have to just do as much as you can at a time. So we're super excited. We'll officially announce the website like when it's fully done. And like me personally, you don't know how excited I am to like write about hockey again. Like I feel like I haven't written anything in so long that has been published, and it's like, I don't know, just like
it's dream, gonna be
fun. Dreaming about doing it for a living and like doing it for fun to start is the best part. Like there's no stress. You're just doing it for fun. And it's, you own it. Like Josh and I own it. And it's like, that's huge. Like
it's cool.
The feeling of owning something like that is cool. So we can't wait for you guys to hear about it. Like Josh said, all things hockey. We're going to try and cover literally everything we can. And and hopefully we can collab with some local businesses too, which we may or may not be doing in the coming months. So let's see.
I'm excited. with that, Mike, you want to do the next one here? No, you're good.
So also, this kind of all ties together. We're going to try and get into a little bit of college hockey. We know Chicklets is doing this, like they're way ahead of the game with the what do they do? Like the college campus tours with Grinnelli. Yeah. Like he does so good with that stuff. Obviously we're not trying to steal their thunder, but we're going to try and kind of dip our toes into it too. And try and catch up on some college hockey. I mean, it's growing like huge the NIL deals and all that. And like with the deal they just made with all the minor leagues where you can transfer there and all that. So we got us, and Gavin McKenna is going to Penn State, like all that small things we kind of have to tap in, and we're going to try our best to get as much information out as that. And with that,
and it'll be, we're dipping our toes in. We're not saying we're going to be crazy in depth, but our goal is to give you a surface level in this next year about some college hockey.
Yeah.
And our goal really is if we can cover some St. Louis teams throughout that. So we have some rising Division I teams here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of see that. But saying that, if you do listen to our podcast and you do have any connections in NCAA, AHL, ECHL, NHL, please reach out to us. We would love to talk to them, grow, and network, because this is all a new foundation for us. And with that comes meeting new people, getting connections, and helping us get our name out there.
Right.
We got to start from somewhere. So we have to kind of go out there and be like, hey, give us a shot and we'll try not to let you down. And we'll see where it goes. But I'm excited. So a lot of great things coming out for y'all here soon. And a lot of extra work going on in the back, which is why we are adding some more people to our team. And I assume over the next year to more, we will be adding more. Yeah. So if you're wanting to do some nice freelance stuff, always reach out to us, you know?
Yeah. We can't pay you.
We have zero income for this right now, but one day.
We're just a couple buds who like to talk about hockey still. Yeah. So
it's great. So,
but if that day comes, we'll gladly give you some money.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about the Atlantic Division, Josh. We talked about the Metro a couple weeks ago. This division is a little bit more competitive. The bottom half is still stinky. Bottom half is
garbage, like, man.
We were talking about the Eastern Conference and how the whole thing's kind of garbage, and it's basically Florida and Toronto, and maybe a couple other teams sprinkled in like to have a little fun, but other than that, everyone's stinky.
They're top loaded. Like once you get past the first couple teams, the bottom end's just like, we're all racing for last place here.
Right. I can't wait to talk about the West.
Finally, good hockey when we hit the West finally.
Let's go through what happened last year. I'll start from the, well, we're going to talk about them from 8-1, I'm assuming. The rank from last year is actually kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Toronto won the division at 108 points, followed by Tampa Bay with 102 points. They had a heck of a year. Didn't finish very well, though. Florida at number three with 98 points, and then Ottawa 97, Montreal 91, and then here are the non-playoff teams. Detroit Red Wings at 86, Buffalo Sabres, of course, at 79, and then the Bruins at the bottom of the division with 76 points, one of the most wild turnarounds in hockey in a while. Going from President's Trophy with Monty to firing him after going like 9-10, and then stinking and tanking.
Tanking, destroying completely. Your roster. But the issue started before the season even began with the issue with the Ullmark Swayman debate.
Yeah. And we contract. Remember we did that for 4 episodes. We were like, what's happening with Swayman? Just let it end. Yeah. Why is Boston doing this? Like, just sign him.
Yeah.
We were so mad at them and we wanted Boston to have him. Like, we were like, all right, you let Ullmark walk. You got to keep Swayman. Why aren't you just doing it? Like, it was just, oh, my God. It was
a horrible situation. The debate where you let your other goalie that was just as good of a starter walk.
If not better. Vezina Trophy winner.
Yeah. And you hadn't even a contract in place to sign your other goalie.
Insane.
And then he doesn't attend training camp with you. He practices with the University of Maine where he played. Like, good Lord. What a
situation.
Freaking disaster. That front office management is terrible.
Yeah, and Grinnelli talked about it a bunch on Chicklets and game notes where he was like, I just want some transparency from the management, basically. He's like, why are they saying what they're saying during like the press conferences? It's not what we want to hear, and it's not even a good thing. Like, they're just making excuses, and I'm like, dude. Coming from a Boston fan, like, Grinnelli's probably the most level-headed Boston fan in the history of Boston fans. And when he's saying that, that's bad. Like, bad. And talk now they're probably talking about tanking for McKenna. Like,
they
have what are we doing?
Well, and I mean, you'll see what their free agency addition was, and you'll really be like, wow. But
that guy's agent needs extra money.
Oh, yeah. Props to that guy's agent. Yeah.
But let's get into it. Go first. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll segue. So we are starting off. So they're in kind of like alphabetical order, essentially, in a way.
Oh, okay.
Boston Bruins. So we're doing it yet again. Window open, closed, best edition, and biggest question mark, like we did for our other division. So the window's closing. Like,
yes.
It's closed. It's imploded, actually. So I think you could say the window was closed when you traded Brad Marchand at the deadline last year.
100%.
And it's sad because you still have some decent players on your roster. Mm-hmm. But once you get past your like core four, it's garbage, let me tell you. So that window's closed. I think, like we said, they're going to be tanking for the first overall pick, if possible. We're going to get into their best additions. I'll take the first one, Mikey, and then I'll let you talk about the second one. So signing Connor Geeky to an extension. I think that is a huge win for a destructive team that you're doing right now, that you were able to lock up a center that can play two-way game and seems to be finding his game a little bit more.
Yes.
So you got to have someone that can at least play with David Pastrnak. So
right.
Connor Geeky can do that.
Right. And if we go into is it Connor or is it Morgan?
Is it more? It's Morgan Geeky.
It's Morgan Geeky. Okay, sorry.
My bad.
No, you're good.
Morgan Geeky. Yes. 27-year-old.
We talked about him. We talked about trying to get this guy.
I wanted him so bad, but
he was like my number one.
I thought they were going to sell him too because the way they were going.
Yeah. So he broke out for 33 goals, 24 assists, 57 points, a +3 on a horrible team through 77 games.
46.5 on the dot too. So like not great, not terrible.
100 plus hits the past 2 years too. So he does play that two-way game like you mentioned. This. Yep. I mean, if they didn't keep this kid, they are truly tanking, and then Pasta might have been gone at the deadline this coming year. Like,
may happen.
Who even knows? So this is a genius. Like, not genius. It was a must sign from Sweeney and company, or else it could have been real bad. What is real bad is the other guy that they signed. I mean, he's not awful. I mean,
he's not awful.
Great. He had one good year. Can't even talk about it without laughing. He had one good year, second year in the league, where he had 41 points in 81 games. Talked to 24, he had 130 penalty minutes. Yeah. Unreal, and he was still a plus for Nashville, so good for him. Tanner Janot, this guy's been stealing contracts since his rookie year.
That's amazing.
He might be the only player in NHL history where you just can't wrap your head around why he's getting paid that much and for that long term. Like, he must be the best locker room guy in the history of the NHL. He has to be a glue guy of all glue guys. He hasn't had over 18 points in the last 3 or 4 seasons. Whoever his agent is needs to make all of the money. He needs to take the money from Janot and say, thank you. You still play in the NHL. But like I said, Boston, you got to do what you got to do. They went out and got a grinder who can play 12 minutes a night and maybe get 20 points. I'm assuming he's going to play up in the lineup, like third line, because their team is not deep. I mean, it comes to the question, like, what's their plan? Who's in the lineups?
I would love.
Who's in the lineup, the starting lineup, opening night? And like, are they just going to start selling guys off, like, immediately? Like, I'm so confused with this team. How could you win the President's Trophy and then just... and then just not try and keep the same team going? Like, obviously the locker room was buzzing. Like, they were basically one goal away from Florida never winning a Stanley Cup. Like, I'm so confused what happened.
Yeah. Shout out to Michael K of the Sports Corporation, who is his agent.
Shout out Michael.
Guys, you have no clue who they are besides Tanner Janot. I don't know a single one of these guys. Tanner Janot is the only one that's getting paid out of it. Everyone else is on like 775 or 943 or below contracts. Oh,
good for him.
I mean, props, dude. You pulled a rabbit out of a hat with a 5-year, $17 million deal.
That's so good. It's so good.
Yeah.
It makes me laugh at Boston. Like, I can't help it. I'm not sorry, Boston fans.
No. And like, and that's the other thing. Like, Tanner Janot, we picked as the guy they signed. They also went out and got Victor Arvidsson. But like,
yeah, that was an okay trade. I mean, they basically helped Edmonton dump unwanted money, though.
Yeah.
Like, it helped Edmonton at the end. Like, they didn't do anything that truly helped them.
No.
Besides Connor Geeky. Or Morgan Geeky, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I messed you up on that.
No, it's okay. Besides Geeky, like, they truly went out and did nothing to help their own organization, which is so flabbergasting. Because Boston, we talked about, we started recording, everyone was taking team-friendly deals because they were winning. Yeah. And they only won one flipping Stanley Cup. And it was 15 years ago. So with that whole core that they had, they only won one cup. It's almost like the Toronto of America. Like, they had the same core forever. Oh, Boston, they're so good. And then they can never get over that hump. Like, I genuinely think Toronto has a top 5 chance of winning the cup next year. And Boston has a top 5 chance of getting Gavin McKenna. So it's a really interesting dynamic in Boston. Obviously, they still have McAvoy, Pastrnak, Swayman, Geeky, and then from there it drops off heavy. But I mean, they can still probably do okay, I think.
Yeah, it's a middle tiering roster. I mean, you have Elias Lindholm, Casey Mittelstadt.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, those are Pavel two solid Zaka, players. Solid players.
Guys that, like, at this year's deadline, Pavel Zaka could get traded. Casey Mittelstadt could get traded. Pastrnak could get traded. Like, your defenses, Henry, Yoki Haru, Hampus Lindholm, Mason Laurie, Charlie McAvoy, Andrew Peake, Nikita Zadorov. Like,
yeah. It's a very middle of the road team. Like, we might be over exaggerating if they're going to get Gavin McKenna or not, but they're not a playoff team. That's for sure.
No, I still have them as the worst team in this division.
That's wild. I think I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I really do. Unless Buffalo implodes again, which it's
There's
easily can happen. So
yeah.
And I guess that's a good segue into Buffalo.
Yeah.
They have an NHL record 14 seasons without a playoff berth. And it's just so, this is another team where it's so flabbergasting. Every player, like that, what is it? Like the last 5 years, there's been a Buffalo Sabre that's won a cup. Like starting dating back to like O'Reilly all the way up to this year, like a former Sabres won a cup. And it's just so disappointing that a great city, seriously, a great sports city cannot be given a good hockey team. The ownership is awful and it stinks. And I wish their window wasn't closed, but it is because they have Tage and they have Tuck and they have Dahlin and they have Byram still. It's
that's
like
the thing. You are ruining some of the best years of Rasmus Dahlin.
Easily. And, but he's the captain of the team. He's not going anywhere.
No.
I mean, like, if he's going somewhere, they're getting a haul for that dude.
Yeah.
He's like Victor Hedman, basically. Like,
yeah.
Prime Hedman. Like, he could get so much if they were to trade him, but they would never. Why would they?
No. Yeah.
Because their management's awful. Yeah. So I'll let you talk about their best addition. But the window's closed. It's not going to open. But they did okay. I'm assuming this offseason stuff.
It's a very interesting dynamic. They added a decent amount of players through this, but so to start with, I think some of the biggest is you convince Bo and Byram to come back for 2 years. That gets him to RFA status. You're keeping a defenseman that has some question marks, but is still a pretty decent player.
Oh yeah.
You were able to bring in Devin Levy, signs a 2 year deal too, an extension. And then this guy is who I think is going to be the best addition is Kesslering from Utah. He is a mammoth, no pun intended. 6'5", 215-pound tank on the back end with a heck of a shot. I think he's probably going to be their best addition. I also think a sneaky good addition is Josh Doan. I think he's going to be really good for this team. But I'm interested to see. Like, this team has a lot of question marks. I think the player that it's going to revolve around is Devin Levy. I think they need him to be a solid on the back end in net. But I think Bowen Byram has to take the next step. He's going to play the first pairing with Rasmus Dahlin. And he has to be everything that this team needs.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a 40-point guy this year.
He has
just
to
because
be.
He's playing with Dahlin, who's so good, bro. He's so good. That whole situation with Byram was so silly.
It was weird.
I can't believe that he didn't get a package that he didn't like. Like, I just can't believe it. I think that he was overpricing his defenseman for sure.
Well, I think there was that deal. I really do think there was a deal with the Blues.
Yeah.
For JJ Paterka and Bowen Byram for Jordan Kyrou.
Yeah. And I probably,
I don't know.
I don't know if I would have taken that. Seriously.
I think there was probably they wanted to be more in return from Doug Armstrong.
Probably.
And probably. I think that's right there is why I think it didn't happen. It was probably those two guys and a pick or a prospect or another player.
Yeah, I agree. And I genuinely think Byram is just not the guy.
No,
like,
I think he's
a great player. He is too small.
Yep.
I am over it. We need big boys on the back end.
Yeah.
Big boys. And Byram's not that guy. I am happy to see what he does with Dahlin this year. I think he's going to be great. As for Devin Levi, I think he stinks. I seriously think he's overrated. He's a minor league goalie. I don't think he's going to be anything they need. And I think Ukko-Pekka Lekkonen is okay. And he'll just do what he does and
they have to hang on for
dear life.
They're going to have to do a 1A, 1B thing where, like, neither of them are true number one goalies.
God, that is just so bad.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do, though. I do agree that Kesslering is going to be unreal.
Yeah.
I think genuinely Utah might regret that. Because I think Paterka is going to be good.
I think it's hard to find defensemen.
He's too small. Utah's like the tiniest team in the league now. He's too small. He doesn't play defense, but he scores.
Yeah.
Which is fun, which is what Utah wants. They just want fun on the ice, you know?
It's the giant debate that we've had and why Logan Mayhew made so much sense and why we gave up a Bolduc and why you had to give up a J.J. Paterka. Kessler Ring is a 6'5", 25-year-old right-handed shot defenseman. And if it doesn't make you want to laugh even more, he was a pick of Edmonton Oilers. So, way to go, guys.
God. I love joking with the Oilers fans, man.
Like a sixth-round pick that has turned out to be very solid. Serviceable.
Like, and he's only going to get better, bro. I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the top line with Dahlin.
I wouldn't disagree.
Seriously. Because I think Byram is like, I think he's got a little bit of a narcissist view on himself. I think he mm-hmm. wants his own line. I think he wants to be the main guy on a line.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's going to be the second line with the Sabres.
And for those of you listening who think we're being complete idiots about this, look at who he's been traded. He was traded by Colorado.
For Mittelstadt.
For Mittelstadt, which not a great move. But no, like Colorado viewed move. Him as expendable.
Right. Well, they have Sam Girard, who plays harder.
Girard. They have Devontae Taves. They have Cale McCarr. So they have defensemen. And they know how to evaluate defensemen. That's the other thing. It's not like a franchise that has no clue how to evaluate defensemen. Clearly, Colorado knows what they're doing.
Yes.
And then he goes to Buffalo, and he's being shopped in Buffalo.
Right.
And, like, get me wrong. We sat here and said, like, we'll take him.
Of course. But
I don't think, like, he's overvalued.
Yes.
I don't think he's not great, but I don't think he's this second coming of an amazing defenseman. And he's a lefty.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think that's another reason as to why it's so hard to move him.
Yeah.
Because people don't want a lefty on the right side.
No.
They want a right shot defenseman.
Yes.
They want a Colton Parayko.
Logan
Mayhew.
Logan Mayhew, who we're rolling
the dice on. That's why we went and got him.
Namich, like Clark from LA. Like, you can't find these defensemen. And when you do find them, you hold on to, or if you're trying to acquire him, you have to pay. It's a hockey deal where both teams are a little upset with what they have to give up.
That's why I'm so, like, I liked the deal for Utah because I know they want to be flashy. I know he's going to really fit in well with that team.
Yeah.
Paterka, that is. But they just gave up
a core piece of that defensive group.
Seriously, one of the better young right-hand defensemen.
I can't think of anybody.
He's not like, going to be a superstar.
He's not Noah Dobson.
No, Dobson. We'll talk about Dobson.
Yeah.
But I mean, that we're kind of going on a tangent, but I agree. Byram's overpriced. Kessler Ring's going to be really good.
Yeah.
I think eventually he'll probably also get traded out of Buffalo.
Yeah. That's the biggest question mark is basically at the end of the day, can Tage and Tuck carry this team? And if not, the dysfunction of that locker room and players getting frustrated will lead to everyone requesting trades.
Of course, it happens.
And they will be sellers at the deadline.
It happens every year.
And it's what they do every year. And until either the ownership decides, you know what, either we need to figure out how to do this or they sell the team, they're going to be that way. And it sucks because Buffalo is a great community that deserves a good hockey team.
Dude, they deserve it more than I think almost anybody.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Like, Buffalo, the people of Buffalo deserve good hockey. And that's what sucks. For them.
Yeah.
But moving into another great hockey city.
Yes.
The Detroit Red Wings. Go Wings. Like, and it sucks being a Blues fan, but like, I miss that rivalry.
Oh, me too, man.
Growing up, that was such a fun.
Yeah. I was going to mention that. It's like the older viewers, like my father and his friends, are probably going to see this jersey in the background and be like, why does Mike have a Red Wings jersey? Oh, I hate Detroit. Oh, God. You know, Yzerman from center ice, blah, blah, blah. They've been so bad.
Yeah.
Like, you can't even hate them anymore.
It sucks that they're bad.
I want them to be good.
They need to be good for the league.
Yes, I loved when Detroit was good. Like, some of my favorite players of all time are Detroit Red Wings. Like, Brett Hull was a Red Wing.
Yeah.
Modano, like, Chelios, all those guys. I mean, they had some of the best players of all time. Some of the best teams of all time. As for modern day Red Wings, you guys just, you can't get over the hump. You were so close the past couple of years, and then you just died again late. I don't know how. I don't know why. Something keeps happening. Is their window open or is it closed? It's cracked.
Yeah.
Like, it's barely open. It's a little confusing because it seems like on paper they have the core pieces to get in, at least to get in.
Uh-huh.
And they just went out and got a really good goaltender that we'll talk about in shortly. But can they get past Montreal? Can they get past Ottawa now? Like, those teams, I think, just took a step up before they did, which is a shame because I feel like they've been trying a lot longer. So I don't know. What do you have to say?
Yeah, no, I think the dysfunction, if we're talking about great ownership group in Detroit, they're willing to spend money. So that's the other thing. Like, they spend money, but it's at the helm of the Yizer plan that we talked about that for weeks on end last year. Of what's the goal here? You have players that are in their prime. You have young blossoming superstars in a Lucas Raymond and a tank of a Mort Sider. You have the best years of Alex DeBrincat and Dylan Larkin. You have a veteran in Patrick Kane. But, like, what are we doing? Like, you should be getting better. You aren't getting better. You've traded a bunch of for middle-tier goalies. Like, hear me. Like, you went and traded for Ville Husso, who, I mean, looking at it from that run he had, should have been, but just didn't stick. You had Peter Mrazek, didn't stick. And you just couldn't put it out. You had James Reimer. Like, I think Cam Talbot's been the best addition they've had on the back end, and he's still there. And then they go out and they add John Gibson and Mason Appleton this year. Those are their best two additions. So John Gibson, I think, solidifies that back end for them. But can John Gibson play healthy all year? That's another question mark. Sneakily, I love this Mason Appleton addition. He is a thorn in the side of the other teams. And, like, he drove me nuts in that playoff series with the Jets versus Blues. Like, drove me up a freaking wall. And serviceable. He's very serviceable. So
he's one of those bottom six forwards that you need for a cup run. Seriously.
Yeah. And then you go out and add James Van Riemsdyk too.
Another vet. Like
a vet.
And I think they really do have a great group of guys. So I'm going through the list right
the
now.
Roster is
and
not
I'm thinking,
bad.
Why are they not in the playoffs? I think the Atlantic is just a little bit too good for them. And I think they're Ottawa just had the fire last year, right? Montreal just had the fire. And hopefully Detroit can just grab that fire now too and kick one of those guys out or one of those teams out.
Yeah.
But Patrick Kane literally scored 20 goals last year. Still unreal. I'm glad they kept him. He's going to probably score another 20. James Van Riemsdyk is good for almost 20 a year too.
Sneakily just like keeps sticking around. He put up 16 goals and 20 assists last year.
Dude, he is so good.
At 36.
Under one of the most underrated, like, utility forwards of the modern era. Like, he's a beast. And his brother's a beast, too, on the back end for DC. But then, I mean, like, John Gibson, great pickup.
Mm-hmm.
You needed a goalie, seriously. Talbot can't do it anymore. He's a great backup now. At 38 years old, he can be a great backup behind 32-year-old Gibson if he stays healthy. But yeah, I think the future of the team, I don't know if it needs to be a locker room, like, mental change. I mean, they brought in Tom McClellan as a coach, which was good. Like, it seems like they're making the right moves, but they just aren't forming together to play as a playoff team. Like, I don't know if that's to blame for Yizerman. I don't know if, like, the leadership group isn't as great as we think it is with, like, Larkin and company, but I would never say that about Dylan Larkin.
Dylan Larkin, if you ever want to come on the podcast, dude, we would love to have you because, good Lord, are we a fans of Dylan Larkin here.
I love Dylan Larkin. So, I don't know. Is there too big of a gap between, like, the vets who are about to end their career and, like, the youngsters coming up? Like, is it a weird dynamic? I don't know. I just don't know. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think about, like, the future and Yizerman?
I really think If they miss the playoffs, he's fired. Like this, I don't see how you can keep giving him another year. Like,
is he riding the high of the Tampa Bay Lightning era? You know what I mean? Like, are they riding that Yzerman high, or is it just because he's probably the best captain they've ever had? Like, in the history of the Red Wings, you
that's
know?
The hard part. Like, there's the loyalty of a player that's been with your franchise for years, and right. I get that. And
he so was good,
a fantastic player, played on some very great teams.
Yeah,
but we've also seen that sometimes former players don't make the best management front office.
Yeah,
Shanahan. It's true. Shanahan's a prime example.
Yeah. Even Gretz, when Gretz. He coached,
yeah,
Gretz. He was meant, just, but he did just, coach some crappy teams.
Yeah, but like, and that's no shame in them as a player, and it's no shame as them as an individual. Some people are just not made to be management or front office people. And right. that's okay.
Right.
Like, I think that's going to be the biggest question mark is, are they on the Titanic right now? Are we sinking, or are we on a actual cruise ship that's going to make the official journey? That like,
right.
So, I really think if they don't make the playoffs, and I really think if they're not in playoff contention by the deadline, he's gone. And I think they either have an interim or they go out and find someone that can be a GM here in Detroit. And that guy has the ability to either sell off at the deadline for guys that you can get the most return on, or you let him finish the year out and you're like, you're not making trades at the deadline. And the guy gets a fresh start in the offseason. Or right. anyone that's on an expiring contract, please send them off for draft picks.
Right. It'll be really interesting to see.
But you're ruining some of the best prime years of Dylan Larkin and the Cat.
God, so it just sucks. Because he's, you know what really sucks is he's a Michigan boy, played at the University of Michigan. Like, the captain of the Detroit Michigan Red Wings. And he's played 5 playoff games in his career when he was 19.
That's sad.
Like, oh,
how do you go from the years of Zetterberg and Pavel Datsyuk to this?
It's just a shame.
Like the mid 2000s to like early 2010s.
Like I just can't.
You were competitive.
I feel so bad for him. I really do. I love Dylan Larkin.
Yeah.
But we'll see with Detroit. I agree with you. I think Yzerman needs to have the shortest leash of GMs,
yeah.
besides Buffalo, probably.
Yeah. And going from a GM with a short leash to this next one in Florida with Bill Zito, you start us off in Florida.
All right. Florida Panthers, three back. They're going to win another this
year. Yeah, that's good.
Their window's wide open. I mean, it's as open as possibly can be. They have multiple windows open. They are one of the best hockey teams I've ever seen.
Yep.
It's just no denying it. They truly are a family, and none of them wants to leave. Everyone wants to win. The GM is like the godfather of hockey right now, Bill Zito.
I love him.
I love him too. He's a genius. And I don't know what's in the water down there in South Florida besides the sunny beaches and the perfect weather and it's tax free, and which we don't believe in, but it's not a big reason people play down there. But yeah, they are going to be easily the cup favorite this coming year. They kept the whole band together. They kept Ekblad, Marchand, and Bennett on great deals. Well, yeah. Marchand's a 6-year deal. It'll be 43 when it ends, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
That's the only like weird one that I think that happened. But they got Bennett, they kept Ekblad. Which defenseman did they let walk? But then they brought in
Well, you added Seth Jones.
Right, you kept Seth Jones. And then you brought in Petrie.
Yeah.
Right?
Let me.
And you let another. Who did they let walk? I can't remember.
Schmidt.
They let Schmidt walk to Utah, which is a great signing by Utah. They brought in 2 ex Florida players, which I love for Utah. So good for Bill Armstrong.
So they're bringing everyone back on their decor, and they added Jeff Petrie, who honestly, like.
So good.
Savvy vet.
Yes.
He doesn't have to be a superstar here.
No.
And just has to play a decent, but like, you still have Forsling. You still have Ekblad. You have Seth Jones. You have Dmitry Kulikov. You have Nikita Mikola. And you just added Petrie. You still have Bjornfoot and Belinsky. My gosh.
Dude. Their team is an all-star team.
And they just keep cycling backup goalies, which is even better.
It's so good, isn't it? And the guy they just brought in is like Bobrovsky's like biggest fan.
Yeah.
Like the backup goalie is like loves Bobrovsky and loves Danili, like his family.
Danili Tarasov.
Tarasov is he'll probably end up being the starter when Bob retires. Like, they're just going to keep cycling these Russian goalies. Like, what are we doing, man?
And got him for a fifth round pick, too. That's the best part.
God.
Until you find your guy that can just replace, just let them soak all the knowledge up from Bob.
Of course.
Which, if I don't know if people know, like, and sorry, segue in here. For every shutout that happens, Bobrovsky writes a letter. And you get a handwrote letter from Bobrovsky. And like a bottle of like wine or like a nice bottle of alcohol. And it's just like thanking them. And like, it's just wrote to them. And you
to
can't
the team,
get like,
you mean?
To that player.
Oh, to the player.
To the player. Wow. And yeah. And like, it sounds like you can't get like multiple letters in a season, but like Bob will write a letter and you get a bottle of alcohol.
Wow. Dude.
And that's just, dude, that's the little stuff that you're just like, whatever is happening in that locker room is working.
Bro, you know what? I just thought about this. He's a really faithful guy.
He is.
Dude, they might be praying in the locker room.
Yeah, it's like a Washington Capitals thing, which we talked about this with Reed Lowe about the faith aspect of things.
Yes.
And it's kind of been cool how we've been able to connect it. And like,
yes,
we talked about like, we're not here to like jam faith down your throat, but like the little things of faith that are popping up have been awesome.
Yeah.
In like the most unsuspecting places.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing it potentially in this locker room.
I think so, dude. I seriously think it. And Bob is like the big curator of it. And they all just want to protect Bob. It's just, I mean, you can say all you want about how much you hate him. You just can't. I've mentioned this before. You just cannot if you're a hockey fan. They are so good.
So good. That's the best part.
And they play the game the right way, the veteran way, the
old school
way. Like 2019 Blues hockey. It's the old school way, baby. We're laying hits. We're making you pissed. We might take a suspension or two, but then we're coming back out and we're playing clean hockey.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. It's seriously amazing.
and that's the thing. Everyone's sitting here like, we hate him. Like, okay, I like this dynasty run better than I did the Chicago Blackhawks run.
Yeah, as a Blues fan, yeah.
As a Blues fan. But also, like, you look at this team, there's not many players. Like, everyone hates Sam Bennett, but, like, if Sam Bennett was wearing your jersey, you would love him. If Tom Wilson was wearing your jersey, you would love him.
Yeah.
Like, Steve Ott. We all hated Steve Ott. Now, like, you can't make fun of Steve Ott now, or you get a whole city that's coming after you.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
It's a group. And like Brad Marchand, you hated Brad Marchand on Boston, but now I'm finding that I kind of like myself some Brad Marchand.
Exactly.
And I hate it, but it's so fun to watch.
I know. It's so good, bro. Nothing bad to say about Florida. They, like we said, they brought in Petrie and then a solid backup who's like Bob's biggest fan, and they re-signed everyone they needed to re-sign, and now they're going to make another run, baby. The only question mark kind of is Tkachuk.
Yeah.
He needs surgery still. Still hasn't gotten it. We talked about how that's a little curious. I'm not sure. Maybe he's just busy. Maybe he doesn't care enough. Like,
I'm sure he cares, but you know. Or what the dynamics of what the surgery could do to him. There's a lot of questions. And I think we saw this with Austin Matthews last year, and we'll kind of talk with Toronto later, but going to the doctor in Germany, because I think Matthews also was seeing him. But Matthew Tkachuk has some lingering health issues, and that's what happens when you're in a dynasty for these couple years, because the playoffs are grueling.
Oh, yeah.
And it beats the crap out of you.
Yeah.
So biggest question I think out of anything is his health. But the other thing is, they can still, they just need to make it into the playoffs. And then we've seen they don't care what seed they are. They'll still go on and beat anyone on the road or at home. So we'll see.
We'll see. Okay. Montreal Canadiens. Hello. Welcome to the playoffs, Montreal. Let's go. Made a little bit of noise too. I'm happy for you. That fan base, another group of hockey fans that just needed some playoff hockey, man.
Yep.
Y'all are crazy up there. I think they might have had the best offseason. I seriously think they might have. They went out, they opened their window a little bit more. I think they're definitely a playoff team now. They have a great veteran presence. They have a great youth core now. They're really young and dynamic. Let's talk about additions. So they traded Logan Mailloux to us. We gave them Zach Bolduc. Good trade on both ends, I think. Yeah. I think both teams are going to prosper. Both teams are
going to be happy.
Yes. It hurts a little bit. Obviously, Bolduc's stud, bro. 20 goal scorer for sure. He's going to be so good in Montreal. But Mailloux's going to be – I genuinely think he's going to be good. I don't know what it is. I just have a feeling that Armstrong knows. When he knows, he knows. And then, of course, we had the Dobson fiasco, and he finally ended up going to Montreal. Signed him to a ticket.
Paid. Good for him. $5 million a year, which is cheaper than I honestly thought he would sign for, the way he was talking.
Well, good for him. I'm happy for him. Sometimes you just need to get off Long Island. we'll talk about them. Are we? No, we talked about them already.
Yeah, okay, we already talked
about that
train wreck.
I don't think I have anything too negative to say about Montreal. I think they're going to be better. I think they have a lot of scoring potential. The goaltending might be a little bit of a question mark. Like Montembeau's great.
He's good.
He's good, but he's not like steal a game good if they really need it.
Yeah,
that I know of. But he was like potentially on the Canadian national team roster. So maybe I'm underestimating Montembeau.
That's true.
But Lane Hudson and Dobson are going to be so good.
Oh, so good.
If they play together, even if they don't, they're going to be so good.
Honestly, I would like to see them broke up, but also like I mean, Lane Hudson, dude.
So good.
Like
a weird looking guy, weird looking player, but he is so good.
I mean, you can look as weird as you want when you put up 66 points, my guy.
Yeah, good for you,
60
bro.
Assists, and then you add Bolduc, who I think will put up 20 to 25 goals next year.
Yeah, so they're going to have a pretty dang good young team.
Yep.
Pretty dang good young team. What's your biggest question mark for them?
Will the youth continue to grow? I think that's the biggest thing. As we've talked about, they have a good youth core. You need guys to continue to take the step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Will Lane Hudson be another solid back-end defenseman for them? I don't know. I really hope so. He was fun to watch. And then will Montembeau continue to grow? I think you need him to also make another step, along with needing Bolduc. Bolduc has to rise to the occasion here too.
Yeah.
So, I agree. I think it's going to be a good all-around season. I'm excited. They're an exciting team, good coaching, and good front office.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, Marty St. Louis is the most underrated coach in the league.
Yeah, I know he had to take a step away for a little bit for some family issues throughout the year, but I'm excited. Also, and in that, you know who we didn't even talk about? Cole Caulfield, man. Like,
you still have Cole Caulfield? I've been talking about him for years, bro.
You got Cole Caulfield, Nick Suzuki, and honestly, he gets a lot of hate, but Patrick Laine too, man.
Stud. Patrick
doesn't have to be great on a two-way game, but I mean, he still put up 20 goals, 13 assists in 52 games last year. So,
that's all you need to do, bro. Score 20 plus.
Play a little better defense, and then you're putting a hole.
I'm happy for him. You'll see in one of the hockey articles that I finished up, I talked about Line A a little bit, and I have a little bit of a pass or a little paragraph on him because he went through a rough time. He figured it out. Now he's in a team that made the playoffs, and I think he can get back.
Yep.
Get back to the early ages or the early years of Laine. But yeah, good for Montreal. Let's stay in Canada. The Ottawa Senators. Windows open, baby. Welcome to the playoffs as well. We love you, Brady Tkachuk. We love you, David Perron. And good for Ullmark. I love that he made it and Boston didn't. It just makes me very, very happy that we had another Canadian team in there and a chance to make it to the finals, man. Let's go.
Yeah.
I feel bad for all of you guys. You know, America kind of took control of hockey about 30 years ago. So you guys need a little bit more love. Unfortunately, the Oilers couldn't do it last year, but don't blame them because Florida was too good. But yeah, the window is open. Senators, pretty much Montreal, young core, great vets. Kind of stuck with the same group, I feel like, this off season. And I think they're going to be fighting for another wild card spot for sure.
So biggest additions. So Dylan Cousins did get traded to them at the trade deadline last year. He's sticking around. Good addition.
Yeah.
Not a flashy signing here, but the guy I'm very excited about is a former Blues first round draft pick, Lars Eller.
Let's go, Lars.
What I think he's going to bring to that locker room in stability, leadership, way the game needs to be played is going to be huge. He's 36 years old. He's been around the league for a long time. He has over 1,000 games in. Lars Eller is going to be huge to this. He's going to bring some stability, I think, to that bottom group. And when games are close, I think he's going to be able to stir up a little bit in the game and hopefully also teach Brady that he doesn't have to fight the whole other team in every game. But I think it'll help them in the long term this year. Yeah,
I think I agree. I think Lars Eller's a great pickup. Yeah. I don't think they really needed too much. I don't think they got the exact player they need, but they definitely got a good veteran.
Yeah.
I think the exact player they need is a bottom six grinder, man. I think they need someone who's willing to just a Tanner toss Jeanette. The body. Yeah, but they weren't about to give him 5 years. Michael K couldn't finagle that one, you know?
No.
But yeah, I think they definitely needed like a 15 goal scoring just body thrower, you know, but yeah. It's hard to come by too. That's hard to come by, like a Brad Marchand, honestly.
Yeah. I love this roster. It's got some of my favorite players. It's got Mike knows Fabian Zetterlund. I talk about him nonstop.
They extended him. That's a great extension. He's got to prove himself now, and I think he will.
Yeah.
Like, very underrated bottom six forward.
And then Jake Sanderson, man.
Yeah.
Like stud. Stud defenseman. And then we were talking in pre-show, like Shabbat.
Yeah. Shabbat,
like, you forget he's still there.
People think he's old.
He's 28. He had
like 7 more years of hockey, baby. Like, he's going to be great.
45 points last year and was a plus 17, playing 23 minutes a night.
It's like, great.
Come on. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why people don't. I feel like they.
You kind of forget. Him.
I think they get him mixed with Ben Chariot. Chariot. I think they get them mixed with him and they're like, Chariot's not very good, but Shabbat's good. It's like, no, he's really freaking good. Like,
it's a great team. I really think
it is.
This year is a next step. And I'm interested to see.
I mean, you took the second best team in the East, basically 7.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you can get by Toronto, I mean, they choke all the time. But if you can get by Toronto, then you can possibly put up a fight against Florida in the next round after that.
Yeah.
Because ultimately you would be playing Florida. So,
I agree.
Good for Ottawa. I think they're wild card 1, maybe even 3.
I agree. Yeah.
They have a Vezina goalie and Ullmark, which we mentioned. And, yeah, like you said, Decor's great. Great captain in Brady. Got some goal scorers in Stützle and some others. So, yeah. And, of course, David Perron.
Yeah, Claude Giroux's back there. So,
oh, my God. Yeah, we have.
You forgot about Claude Giroux.
I love Claude Giroux. You know I wanted us to sign him.
Every pre-show is like, we need Claude Giroux. And I was like, no, we don't.
I'm so happy they got him back. But,
oh, yeah.
One of the – oh, my God. He's so good at face-offs, man. he's so
good. It's going to be a fun year. I'm excited to see what this Ottawa team does.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to get up to Ottawa this year as well to see a game.
Oh, yeah.
So I can rock my Brady jersey up there.
There you go. Okay, on to the next. So, like, two more, and then we'll do kind of our predictions. Tampa Bay Lightning. Josh, I'll let you go with this one. I don't really have much to say.
Yeah, you know, it's a win now. I think their window is just kind of stagnantly, slowly closing, which I hate betting against John Cooper because he just finds a way.
I know.
If there wasn't a bubble, I think the Blues would have won that cup. But
yeah, we were kind of all out of sorts that year, man.
Yeah.
We were really good, and then something happened.
Yeah, this team did not do much in free agency. This is a quick overview of this team. They have Jake Guentzel, who's a stud. They have Braden Point, who's a stud. They have Victor Hedman, who's a stud. And they have Vasilevsky, that's a stud. And Nikita Kucherov.
Right.
Other than that, they're kind of a heavy-loaded, superstarish team. They don't have a lot of depth players, which they went out and added bottom six players with. Pontus Holmberg and Jakub Pelletier.
Pelletier,
sorry. See, it always goes back to the pronunciation of these names sometimes. I don't know what to really expect. I think they're slowly fading out of the top three in this division, even though they had a heck of a season last year.
Yeah,
it's
wild.
But guys are getting older. Victor Hedman still doesn't seem to be slowing down. That's the crazy part. Nikita Kucherov just, like, I feel like just strolls in and puts up 100 points, and you're just okay.
That's cool. How good he is, man.
but also, I think the debate is if Vasilevsky doesn't carry this team, like, can this team continue to be good? Like, what is the long-term picture? I don't know, because you have a lot of money tied up in some of these guys.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
They're not bad.
I don't disagree with you, but I do a little bit. I still think that they, I don't know what it is about these guys, but I still think they can make a run.
They probably will.
Last year, they did not play well against Florida, but if it wasn't Florida, like, I feel like they could have made a run. Like,
yeah,
I think I had them beating Florida, which was stupid, but I think I did. They were so hot going into the playoffs, and then they just died. But they're aging, like you said. They have some money tied up for long term for some not top six guys, I feel like. And you kind of have to start wondering if all that depth and picks they traded away to win now is kind of going to come back to bite them. But still no state tax in Florida, baby. They'll get players to come back, bro. Players to play there to compete against Florida.
It's a decent roster. And I'm not saying, like, I just feel like some of these playoff teams are going to, they're a playoff team. They'll find a way in the playoffs. If it's either in the top three or a wild card, they're not making the playoffs.
I agree.
They have a decent roster when you look at it, but it's just, I don't know what the long-term goal of this roster, because it is an older roster in the grand scheme of things. You're in your upper middle 20s.
Yeah.
And I don't know what their minor league system is. And that's on me for not digging deeper into what their youth is.
Right.
But, like, it's
right
older.
Now.
Yeah. Right now, it's just an aging roster.
It's and that, I mean, the window it's, cracked. It's you, not open. It's window cracked. You're in the playoffs, but you're probably not competing for a cup.
Yeah.
You know? All right, last one, bud. Let's do the old Maple Leafs. Hey, Toronto, got nothing for you for why you keep losing in the playoffs. Like, you've been really good for years and years and years, and now you finally get Mitch Marner, which everyone wanted him gone for some reason, which I still think is dumb. So he's gone, and he's going to go and compete for a cup in Vegas.
Yeah.
Good job, Toronto fans. So. You did really well last year, seriously. You beat your Canadian rival. Shouldn't have been seven, but you beat them. You took Florida deep. You probably should have beat them. Blew that one up. But your team is, even without Marner, I think you kind of got better. I think you did a little playoff push with your free agency.
You did.
And that's good on you. So I'll stop ragging on you now. I'll let Josh take over. But I think I do. It's open. Obviously, the window's open for them. They're a playoff team. And they can compete for a cup. So I'll let you go. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I mean, Mitch Marner goes to the Dodgers of hockey in Vegas. Good Lord.
God, that's that just makes me feel worse.
Yeah, I know, right? with that, you added three decent players.
Oh, yeah.
So Dakota Joshua.
So good.
Very much a Berube style player. You added Nicholas Waugh, very serviceable centerman. And then Matias Marcelli.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Like, yes, you subtracted a guy that's 28 years old, 102 point player.
Yeah.
That hurts a
Always
lot.
Does.
But you added, you're not as top heavy. Like,
yeah,
I think
feel that
you're,
way.
You're balancing your roster finally.
I think so.
And that's where I'm like, your window's still open. I think you're finally fixing the having four lines.
Yeah.
But can you like figure it out? Like, that's right. The thing. Like, you had all the talent in the world. I mean, I've had all the talent in the world, but still haven't figured it out. And that's where I don't know what to expect for them.
Okay.
Like, they should be good. Like, and oh, it's going to irk me if they're not good.
I think they're going to be better. I really do. I think yeah. Marner, like, obviously 102 points a year gone. See ya is awful. It'll never get better. We know it. But the fact you brought in like bottom six players who are going to grind it out for Berube, like we saw it in St. Louis, man. Zach Sanford stinks. And he played top line minutes with Ryan O'Reilly and David Perron, and they were unreal together.
Yeah.
He just loved to throw the body around. Berube loved him because he played hard. And that's all you need to do for him is play hard and you'll get minutes. Yeah. And I think from top to bottom, the forward core, each line is going to throw bodies.
Yeah.
And honestly, like when you have Domi playing possibly third line minutes, like, and he can score 20 a year, like I think you might have the second deepest team in the Atlantic Division. Like we're about to find out. Great additions. Toronto. Yep. So good on you. You might feel a little crappy right now, but just wait. If you guys do stink, blame it on me because I gave you the bad juju. But I think you guys are going to finally push it to the conference flipping finals, baby. Come on, Toronto.
Yeah, there's Let's no go. Reason they shouldn't because – and also, you have Chief.
Yes.
Which that in itself, like you have the coach now. Like,
yes.
There's no debate. Do we have a coach that can do this? You have a coach that knows how to talk with modern day players
mm-hmm.
and old school players. So you're in this good spot and you have one of the best players in the world in Austin Matthews.
Yeah. Like, two of the best players in the world with Nylander.
Nylander. And I love Nylander. And I think he's got another level that I think he needs to find.
I genuinely think he's the best player on that team.
I agree.
Overall, all around, best yep. player on that team. Like, people are going to hate on me for that because Matthews is Matthews.
Yeah.
He's a premier sniper, dude. And yeah. he really stepped up his two-way game, I feel like.
I agree. And that's an effective Berube.
But Nylander genuinely creates plays and, like, yeah. does it himself. So, and I'm not saying Matthews doesn't, but I think I notice Nylander more.
I agree.
It's naked eye test. Just don't hate me for it. Or you can hate me for it. I don't care. But yeah, I agree with you, Josh. Chiefs the guy, bro.
Chiefs the guy. And you need your goalies to
stay healthy.
Stay healthy and stay consistent.
Yes.
Which, if you want to go off the tree of Florida Stolarts, like, I mean, you have a Florida Panther.
There you go.
He knows how to win.
There you go. Yeah.
And I mean, if he doesn't get hurt,
what happens, right?
What happens? And like, good, bad, or indifferent, we're not talking about that hit. It happens. There's hockey plays.
What hit?
Yeah.
He skated by.
The elbow. and that's not ragging on Joseph Woll. Joseph Woll, Missouri boy, Darden Prairie, but he's not Stolarts.
No. I mean, Woll played pretty good last year, though.
He did. It's a 1A, 1B thing. That's agreed. The way of the NHL now.
Yeah, agreed.
Like,
They're built for it, bro. I'm telling you.
They are. And the
Joshua's going to do something different in that bottom six.
Their additions make them well-rounded. And we didn't even talk about Matthew Nyes.
Oh, yeah. They extended him.
Fine. They extended him, too.
Screw an offer sheet. We're going to give you eight, bud.
Yeah.
No, it was less than eight, right?
I think it was less than eight.
Five or six?
I think it was 7.5.
Anyways.
He got paid.
Yeah, but he did.
Segueing out of our overall, they're going to be a good team. They're going to be competitive.
Yes.
Let's go into our predictions here.
Okay, you go first.
I will run down my list. So I have Florida as the number one. I have them winning the cup yet again. We'll get into our full season predictions later in the year. But Florida, followed by Toronto. This one may get a little hate. I have Ottawa in the three spot.
Okay.
Followed by Tampa and Montreal taking the wild cards.
Okay.
And then Detroit, Buffalo, Boston with Yzerman probably getting fired. Buffalo, I just can't bet for you. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I've learned not to bet for Buffalo to do anything. And then Boston's a train wreck.
Okay. I mean, I'll Florida number one.
Yeah.
Even without Matthew Tkachuk possibly playing the first 3 months of the year, I think they're number one in the Atlantic Division. I also think they're going to win again.
Yeah.
I should just put $100 on it now.
Yeah, we might as well.
Toronto at two as well. Like I said, man, I think they're the closest to being able to do it to the Panthers. Seriously.
Yeah.
Which is, Maple Leafs fans, you get excited. I think you should. You have the right to get excited, finally. I think your team is so well-rounded now. In the three, I'll go Tampa.
Okay.
I'll go Tampa.
I could have went vice versa, Tampa. I think Tampa probably will be the three. Or
yeah, I think they're still going to be good enough to be able to make the three spot.
Yeah.
But Toronto will smoke them in the first round. Five or six games.
Yeah.
Or not, you never know. Yeah. Wild card one, I'll go Ottawa, and then wild card two, I'll go Montreal. I mean, same as last year, basically.
Yeah.
And then just missing the playoffs, Detroit.
Yeah.
Again, I think they're going to be like a game or two away, and they're going to lose those two games, and it's going to be a nightmare for them again. And I wouldn't be surprised if Yzerman's fired. I wouldn't be surprised if they're dealing at the deadline, like you said.
Yeah.
They got to do something. They got to shake it up. I don't know what it is, but you got to shake it up.
The only thing that could happen is if Montreal just somehow forgets how to play hockey, which I don't see happening, and then you could flip that Detroit. But that's the only – Detroit has to make the playoffs for Yzerman to have a job.
Yeah, and I think Montreal and Detroit are closer than Ottawa and Detroit.
Yeah.
So if Montreal, like, they might implode in the last three games and Detroit might win three games. So it's like they might sneak in and Gibson can obviously win some playoff games.
Yeah.
Knowing Gibson if he's healthy. So that's the wild card two in Detroit and Montreal is kind of vice versa for me. And then, of course, Buffalo and Boston in the bottom two. I don't care where they are. They're just the bottom two.
Yeah.
Honestly, Boston, like you said, they're kind of like bottom middle tier team. I truly wouldn't be surprised if they fight for a wild card spot just because it's Boston. But they won't.
Yeah.
But my head says no. But they probably have that little slimmer of chance because of the roster's okay enough. To screw Detroit or Montreal, you know? Yeah. But yeah, Florida's going to win the cup. I have nothing really else to say about them. Just like, God dang, dude. I'm not, it makes me happy.
Yeah, no, it's, I'm excited. It's going to be a fun season as always.
Oh yeah, dude. It might be better than last. And last was arguably the best playoffs we'd ever seen. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens.
I'm excited to see what happens. We will pick up next week covering the Pacific division. And then we will round out with the Western Conference Central Division with the Blues. As always, we finish with them in the end. Yeah. But as always, Thank you so much. We appreciate you guys, and we really hope you love the coming new content that we're going to be having and the different directions we are going.
It's exciting stuff, guys.
I'm excited.
It's all thanks to you.
It's thanks to you guys. And as always, please like, please share, please tell your friends, tell your families, tell your grandma, tell your grandpa. It don't matter who it is. Give us a listen. But as always, Mikey.
Let's go Blues, baby.
Let's go Blues.
Hello, everyone. Welcome here to the 5-Minute Major podcast of STL, presented by Across the Board. Yes, that's right. We are now partnered with Across the Board Handcrafted Unique Entertainment, which is a one-of-a-kind St. Louis-based company that creates some of the best games in the country. They have games ranging from horse racing to NASCAR, baseball to hockey. Across the Board provides quality entertainment for all ages. Here's one of their penny hockey games that we were able to partner with them on. So it has our logo, which is super cool. You can play this game at home. You can display it in your man cave. There's so many different potentials that you can do with these games. But you should check them out, guys.
We couldn't be happier to have Kim McDaniel and her company on as a sponsor or partner. Her and her husband started this company from their garage 17 years ago, and it's blossomed into something so cool and amazing. You will learn lots more about them. So please stay tuned and make sure to check their links in the description below to know more about the McDaniel story and Across the Board.